I couldn't quite get crazy enough on the socks, but I'm thankful that you are taking the place. So
gladly.
Yes.
Before we open God's word, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Father God, we come before you and we thank you so much for the gracious God that you are. Lord, there is no God like you. There is no God that will take care of us. There is no God that we can seek after, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. There is no God that will accept us, Lord, as sinners, that will change us, that will give us a new heart, a repentant heart, a heart that seeks after you. No man seeks after God, but we thank you, Lord, that you first drew us. For Lord, if you didn't do that, each of us would still be in our sins. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you drew us and that, Lord, we chose you. We turned to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. And Lord, for the many maybe in here in this room that haven't turned to you, haven't repented of their sins, haven't placed their faith in Christ, haven't been able to boldly come to the throne of grace, but are afraid of that throne, as they rightly should be, as we all were. Lord, convict them and draw them and call them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, now for this time of fellowship. Pray a blessing upon this service and this time together with this church family here in Norton. What a blessing it is to be here. We pray this all in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation, if you'd be so kind to turn to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. And just, Jeremy, you had no idea I was going to be preaching on this, but that is missing from here. It's not a Revelation 22 missing, it's a, or Revelation 21, the end of it. It's a well-used Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to begin reading with verse 23, and we'll read probably about six or seven verses. 197 in your pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, trying to do, were drowned. I'd like to conclude reading with that verse. You know, it's kind of neat. I didn't know what the theme was going to be. Brother Roland was going to lead us in worship, and the songs that we sang were really dovetailing beautifully with what I've been preaching on in Mansfield and decided to preach here as well, about coming to the throne of God, approaching boldly. In Hebrews it talks about, therefore we can boldly approach the throne of God. We have that right now to do. And the song that we sang, the first one, O Lord, you're beautiful, O Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. Your touch is all I need. Is that the desire? And that is the desire of the believer. to seek the face of God, to touch Him, to know Him. And one of the other songs we sang was, I need Thee every hour. Every single hour, we need God. And we can approach Him boldly and clearly because He, for the believer, for us, He has washed us in His Son's blood. We have been cleared and vindicated, not because we ourselves are righteous, but because God has done this through His Son. We have given Him our sins, the Scriptures teach, and He has given us His righteousness, that great exchange that occurs. We are now righteous because Jesus was righteous. He fulfilled the entire law. Then we can now, and through the death, burial, and resurrection, God was satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. It was sufficient that He raised Him from the dead. And then we can come boldly to the throne, and we can come boldly with our problems. And I love the prayer meetings that you have with the whole church present. We have it on Wednesday evenings, but here you can hear the outpourings, the trepidation, and sometimes even the uncertainty. I've been in that similar situation where you hear the diagnosis that you have cancer, and it's ominous. But you can boldly, we as believers can boldly approach the throne of God and know He takes care of us. The last song I think that we sang, God will take care of us. Because now we are His children. You see, before we were unbelievers, we were not His children. We were His creation. But when we were regenerated, when the Lord called us and drew us according to His mercies, and we answered, we repented of our sins and placed our faith in Christ, we now can enter into that rest. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the Israelites did not enter into that rest. Why? Because of unbelief. And we have faith. And that faith gives us rest that God is going to take care of us. No matter what comes, no matter what diagnosis we get, no matter what situation in life, no matter what job change occurs, God will take care of us. And this morning, what we're talking about here is choices. Moses made decisions, and Moses' parents made decisions by faith. And faith is so significant, we know Israel did not enter into that rest because they did not have faith. And drawing near unto God, the throne of grace, that's what all of the Israelites, the Old Testament promises and the Old Testament sacrifice was to draw near unto God, to draw near to the throne of God, to draw into the holiest of holies. And now that partition has been ripped in two and we can enter into that rest. But it's always been by faith. And as the writer here is teaching to the Hebrews, he's teaching to a culture that was steeped in religiosity, in legalism. This form of Judaism is far different than what the Old Testament saints had. The Old Testament saints, they did have faith, and that's why the author goes into Hebrews 11 saying, this faith is nothing new. This being saved by faith is nothing new. Even though you may think Moses, and you may think Noah, and you may think Abraham, and Enoch, and Abel, they were all saved by works. They were not. Their faith was evidenced by their works. And in the end of Hebrews chapter 10, we read why that is so significant. The writer so wisely goes back to, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, he goes back to the Old Testament stating that everyone in the Old Testament was justified or was God was pleased by faith. And we read it here in verse 37, for a little while of chapter 10, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe, that have faith to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith is an Old Testament reference. The saints of the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, and this is something, maybe we all know this. I know as a little child when I was taught through Sunday school, I got the misunderstanding
that some of the Old Testament saints were justified. They had works and they were good, and that's what did it. Every Old Testament saint, the only way they will be in heaven with us and with our Savior Jesus Christ is because they had faith in God. It was not by works. It was not by parting the Red Sea. It was not by building a boat. It was not by leaving a country as Abraham did. It was not just by walking closely with God as Enoch did. It was not like Abel who presented the acceptable sacrifice. No, they all did it by faith. And faith, here we read in Moses, faith is the roadmap that gives us and teaches us and shows us good decisions. Good decisions. Faith is what does that. Faith in a Savior. Faith in God. And for us, it's faith in Jesus Christ. That He was the sufficient sacrifice. He's been going through the sufficiency and the supremacy of Jesus Christ as better than Moses, as better than Abraham, as better than the angels, as better than any priest, even better than Melchizedek, better than everybody. Jesus is far superior than all these Old Testament patriarchs that were revered. And it was the supremacy that is exalted and talked about here. And here we read in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about Moses. And this is very significant because to the Jewish mind, Moses represented what? The Mosaic Law. Moses represented someone who knew the law. He gave him the law. He gave him the dietary law, the restrictions, not to eat this, not to eat pork, not to eat crabs, not to eat these types of things, to live a certain way. To the washings, the sacrifice, the system, the Day of Atonement. This is what Moses gave them. The Levitical priesthood. And so if there was ever someone that lived by the law, it would have been Moses. And what the writer here says, even the one that you so esteem, as and he is esteemed highly, he did all this not by works. He wasn't pleasing to God by works. Although they were clearly evidenced, it was by faith. And the first thing that faith gives us, it gives us a way not to be afraid. We read that here with, if it starts with the parents, and I see a bunch of parents here, a bunch of little children. Faith begins in the home. And we read that found here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, and hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What was the king's commandment? We remember the king's commandment was that the king of Pharaoh was no longer friendly with the Israelites as he was with Joseph when Joseph was in power and was friends with King Pharaoh. And so the king was fearful of the Israelites that they were growing too much. And so he made a decree at some certain point, right around when Moses was born, that every male child would be thrown into the river. No questions asked. That was what you're supposed to do. Imagine your little boys that you have. As soon as they are born, they needed to be killed. And the scripture says that Moses' parents, they were not afraid. They were not afraid. You might think, well, yeah, they were afraid. They hit him. Well, there were two things that occurred when Pharaoh made a decree. One was implicit, one was explicit. The explicit one was, you are to kill and throw every... We can find this in Exodus chapter 2, for readings later. Exodus chapter 2, it says that the babies, the boys were to be thrown into the river. Done. The implicit command was, if you don't do this, you are in violation of the king of Pharaoh. And at this point in time, this was the epic power in all of the world, and especially in that region. You were going to be running afoul of the king of Egypt. You know what that usually meant? Nine times, probably out of nine. It means you're going to be killed. And so the Scripture says that they were not afraid of that. They were not afraid of the King's commandment. Brothers and sisters, parents, dads and moms, what you do with your children today, what we do with our children today, what we teach them, what we share with them, bringing them to church, talking to them, engaging with them, you are passing down to them an integral part of the faith of Jesus Christ. Because you can see Moses, we'll see through this reading here, we'll see that Moses learned a huge amount from his parents. He learned about the Messiah. He learned about the Abrahamic promises, and we'll find out why he did. It's not really clear here, but we'll see that that's what he did. So the children that you're raising, brothers and sisters, you are raising children that will grow up and will need to make decisions and need to make wise decisions. And what you're doing, what I'm doing now with my children will affect our generations and years to come. Decades, if the Lord tarries, maybe even centuries, how we raise our children. Are we raising them in the nurture and the admonition and the teaching of the kingdom of God? Are we teaching them about the goodness and the severity of God? Because there is no gospel without the severity of God. There is no gospel without knowing about hell and punishment and the righteousness and the holiness of God, along with His equally loving and merciful and tender and gentle character. These are all characteristics of God. Are you teaching your children about them while you're sitting down, while you're waking up, while you're walking by the way, while you're laying down? Are you doing this when you're looking outside and you see the weather and you see the stars in the sky and the polar vortex that just occurred to you? Are you talking about the goodness of God and how God is everywhere and He's omnipresent and He's all around us? That's what His parents did. They made a choice. They made a choice. They were not going to throw Moses into the river. And it had a significant impact on human and redemption history. Choices. Faith makes us also look past power and prestige. And where do we see that here? And how does that work? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Full stop there. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was the grandson of the king of Egypt. Brothers and sisters and friends, that's huge. That's huge. Just to get a little bit of understanding, there's a scripture in that we're going to read a little bit in Acts. Stephen has a great account. It's so wonderful. When we read the Scripture, we got to understand, and it's so awesome, that the New Testament, this is something just kind of a little sidebar lesson, the New Testament always sheds light on the Old Testament. The New Testament will always enlighten and enliven the Old Testament. As we go through Scripture and we read the Scripture, there is greater and greater revelation that is given to us. It's what theologians would call there's progressive revelation throughout the Scripture. And we can read that. If you just read Exodus chapter 2, what we read here in Hebrews chapter 11, you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't get some of these this reading. But when we go to Acts chapter 7, we read Stephen's defense just before he's executed. We read, he gives a history of Israel. And he talks about Moses. And the Scripture says here, in verse 20 of Acts chapter 7, in which time Moses was born and he was exceeding fair. Now, about 9 out of 10 of the translations, and even if you look in, if you have a Thompson King James reference, you'll see in a sidebar, it will say, exceedingly fair unto God. So that's really significant there. So
The better rendering would be in verse 20, and in which Moses was born, he was exceeding fair unto God. And that correlates with what he was in, what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that Moses, when he was come, they saw he was a proper child in chapter 23, in verse 23. So he was a proper child, and he was exceedingly fair unto God. There was something about Moses. There was something about Moses that was fair, that was obvious, and it was to God. There was something special about this child that God somehow revealed, and it eventually revealed it, we'll find out, to Moses' parents. There was something about him. And so we read on in Acts chapter 7, and he nourished in his father's house 3 months, and when he was cast out, he was cast out, and I remember we remember that how Miriam watched Moses as Moses was in the, on the river in this little basket. He took him up and nourished him as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. We can also read here a little bit later that in the scripture it says how important was the teaching of his parents. In verse 24 of Acts 7 it says, "And seeing one of his brethren suffer wrong, he defended them and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." You don't read that in Exodus. Moses somehow knew there was a teaching given to him by his parents that Moses was going to be special, that Moses was going to be a type of deliverer. And Moses knew this, was taught this. Brothers and sisters, what you're teaching, what we're teaching our children, had a significant impact. It had an impact on Moses' life. That at some point in his life, he decided that he did not want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wanted to forsake Pharaoh and leave that. Faith gave him the ability to do that. So he was taught that he was going to be some sort of deliverer. And so that would teach me, and that would, that, and scholars kind of disagree on this, but that he was with his parents, his Israelite parents, his Jewish parents, for maybe from up to 3 years, up to 12 years. And those years are so formidable, brothers and sisters. Our children, when they're with us that long, in those young years, they're formidable. You can teach them, you can form them, you can nurture them in the admonition of God. And he was taught this. And at some point, he realized that it was time, he thought it was time to do this and avenge and kill an Egyptian. And we know that that was not the right way to do it. We know that that was murder, that it was clear murder. The scripture says, I think it was in Exodus, he looked this way and he looked this way and he saw that nobody was looking and he killed the Egyptian. It was wrong what he did, but he knew that there was going to be some time he was going to be a deliverer, and he made a choice to forsake Egypt. And what was Egypt? Egypt represented power, the height of power. He had everything at his fingertips. He had all the power he needed. He had all the prestige he needed. And he forsook that all. You know, we sometimes think that we as Christians, we need to forsake the chase. Maybe the chase of this life. And maybe go into different areas and maybe not be not so focused on this world. Moses not only forsook this chase, he forsook the prize. He already had it. You see, sometimes the world and even us, we get entangled in this chase of this world. And many of us, if not maybe all of us, we don't have it. We don't have it in our grasp. We're always struggling for it. Moses had it. He had it all. He might have even been next in line for the throne. And he forsook all of that. And you might think, well, you know, that was maybe, that's something that Moses could do. Are we forsaking the chase? Are we, by faith, forsaking this world, the power and prestige that comes? And I jotted some things down that we have, that we could do. Maybe our careers. We all need careers, but what focus and emphasis do we put on our careers? Our family. Sometimes, I've even heard it, even I've said it, you know, this is my family time. Somebody will say, Erwin, I need you to help out with this, or I need this, or maybe a brother will say, we need some help over here.
And we'll say, no, I can't. This is my family time. Sunday's my, or Monday's nights, this is our family time. Don't interfere. And we sometimes, it's a very worldly thinking. We can say, this is family time. This is more sacred than anything. And we lift up the name of our family and say, this is paramount. Nothing can impede that. And that's not biblical. Family is important. But where we make it an idol, we're not forsaking the prestige and the power of Egypt. You need to always keep that in mind. Our bank account, a paid off mortgage, retirement. We're all focusing on, we got to have a retirement, certain amount of money. And that's just so we can retire by a certain age. And we put these, and those are all good to plan. The idea is, are we willing, and is our will going to be subjugated to God and what He wants for us? Are we placing our faith in Him? This is not a sermon to say we don't plan for our future, because that is biblical. But just we also need to remember when we have these thinking, retirement necessarily isn't biblical. We need to continue to be working in some manner. Being idle is unbiblical. Prestige, respect. Sometimes we always want, we want people to love us, and we view that. I want to be loved. I want to be honored. I want to have the right looks. I want people to admire me. These are things that we can put on pedestals. And Moses had all of these. And he forsook it all because he knew that he was to be a deliverer of Israel from Egypt. Moses could even have rationalized this. Hey, someday I'm going to be king. Those of you who watched a year ago this Christmas, we watched as a family for the first time fully through the Ten Commandments. And I remember the scene there where he was in the Pharaoh's court, and the girl that he liked, or that was in Pharaoh's court, or that was, they were courting each other or enjoyed each other's company, she kept saying to him, if you remained here in Pharaoh's court, you could do so much more. What can you do as a little peasant, as a pauper? You're a prince now. You're going to be going to be a pauper. What can you do? You could do so much from this throne, from this position. And we sometimes use that worldly thinking and say, yeah, that's more practical. I can do more as a Pharaoh. I'll just let my people be beaten longer. And even though I know God's command is to do this, to deliver them out by His supernatural power, I'm going to do it by my hand. Pharaoh, Moses said no to that. And that would have been tempting. Because so many times we think, if I do this, I can help out better when God has a different plan for us. Oh, it's good. It's good to be in certain areas of power. That God can use that, absolutely. But when we think that's the end all to the gospel, Moses saw, Moses knew there was something greater than that. And the Scripture says here, he was taught in all the ways of Egypt. He was mighty in words and deeds. He was learned in all the ways. He knew every. He was taught in the highest school. So at some point, he went back to Pharaoh's court. He was taught. He was schooled. He was learned. He said, no, that's not for me. The culture of the Egyptians he abandoned. Parents, and we all think, and I think we're trying to do a good job as parents, but are we telling our kids sometimes I think it's good when I hear my children tell me, I don't like that decision you made, Dad. I don't think we should absent ourselves from this, or I don't think you should write that letter to my school, or I don't think you need to meet with my teacher on that something that's going on in the school system, or why are you being so X on this? Have we ever done that with our children, where we've said no to something that they didn't like, or we've said we're going to do something that they didn't like? That's making a decision by faith as parents. And we can do that also by faith when we're saying, no, we're going to neglect this. We're going to stop doing this so that we can give over here. We're not going to do this activity so we can give to this missionary, or so we can do this. And it may not be enjoyable. It may not be nice. And our children may not appreciate it, the decisions that we make to restrict them from things in this world. Because we got to remember, this world and this culture, this Egyptian culture, or in Acts 17, the Greek culture is counter to everything in Christianity. It's all around us in the world, and it's permeating, and it's trying to dissuade the believer to abandon our faith in Christ. But we need to look past the power and perceive. We need to look past the third thing is we need to look past the sin. We see that Moses, it says here, that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith will give us the ability to make the right decisions, to look past the sin. And I'd love to say, and I'd love to stand from this pulpit and say that sin is not enjoyable. I'd love to be able to say that, but it'd be a bold-faced lie. Of course, sin is enjoyable. But the end result of all sin to its final end is death. And even in the believer's life, in our life, brothers and sisters, the result of sin is so much heartache. In marriages, it can be destructive. In relationships, people can go separate ways. I wish that the end result and ugliness of sin, whether it's divorce, whether someone has an affair and it ends up being divorce, or there's anger and jealousy and it ends up in a bitter lifestyle and there's just so much tumult, I wish that end result of sin could be brought forward to today, and that when we're about ready to embark on that sin, or we make a decision in our minds to be angry or jealous and we start doing that, I wish we could go forward in time and pull back the results of it and see how ugly it is. And I believe all of us would say, I'm not going to do that. The result of that is so destructive. But thankfully, that's why we come to church. That's why we come to, we talk and we see the Old Testament saints and what happened to them when they did sin and the result of that. And we pull it forward and say, every decision that we make when we don't draw near to God, when we don't enter into His rest, when we don't say, I need you every hour, as we sang, every time we do that, we're treading down that path. But when we realize that all of our fulfillment and joy and satisfaction can be fulfilled in Christ and drawing near to the throne of God, then the things of this world, as the songwriter says, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious rays and His... When we approach the throne of God, it's amazing, right? When we're sitting here in church, maybe the sin that you're contemplating doing, or the sin that's entertaining in your thoughts, if we're really in worship here in church, it becomes so obvious that activity is sinful, isn't it? Paul Weingartner years ago told me that. He goes, it's amazing, in his nice nasal twang voice, he said, Erwin, it's amazing how much when I'm sitting here in church, what I was contemplating doing Monday becomes so painfully aware to me that it's sinful on Sunday. Therefore, it's sinful on Monday. And it's for a season. It lasts for a little bit, and what happens after that is destruction. But Moses saw that. Moses had every pleasure available to him. You know, we think, well, that's neat and that's amazing, but we have that as well. Brothers and sisters, with the availability that we have with technology, any sin virtually is within a click away. It's all brought fast forward to this. Moses had it because he was in Pharaoh's court. He had everything available, every food, every sensual desire that he'd ever want would be available to him as Pharaoh, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We have that too. We're not much different in this affluent age that we live in. Are we willing to look past the sin and look to Christ? Lastly, Moses looked to the forgiveness. And we find that in the Passover. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Briefly, I want to talk about this. Moses, if we read in Exodus, you'll see that Moses was afraid. Exodus says Moses was afraid. Go read it in Exodus chapter 2. Don't have the time to go to it right now. It says Moses was afraid. But here it says Moses was not afraid. They're not a contradiction.
Long before Moses killed that Egyptian, that's when Pharaoh was upset with him. Pharaoh was upset with him and angry with him, and Moses was afraid and he fled. Before he killed that Egyptian, he decided he was going to be with the people of God. Chronology is very important here. And so yes, Moses fled so that he wouldn't be killed, but he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the king when he decided he was going to leave Pharaoh. When he left Pharaoh, he was a dead man. He was leaving Pharaoh's court. He said, no, I'm not afraid of Pharaoh there. I'm leaving all of what I was taught. I'm leaving everything that I was taught so that I could be with my people and redeem them. And we see, brothers and sisters, Christ, that Moses is a type of Christ. We see throughout Scripture and all these examples, there's typologies, there's visions, or Moses is a type of Christ here, of leading them out of sin, leading them across the Red Sea. And we see throughout the Scripture here, we see the thread throughout the crimson cord throughout all of the Scripture. We see it here in the Red Sea. I love that the sea is red. Of course, it's not red color, but I love that it's named the Red Sea. And Moses looked past that there would be freedom. Moses, because in Christ, brothers and sisters and friends, those of you outside of Christ, there's freedom in Christ. Why? What's the freedom? We now are no longer slaves to sin. We're not servants of sin. We don't have to serve sin. We now have the ability to do good and to worship and to draw near to God and know that He will care for us. And need to look past and look to the cross. We read that He kept the Passover through faith. And these are collective things that were done as a church. That's why the church body is so important. We're not individualists. The church body, all of Israel walked through the Red Sea. And all of Israel smattered the blood on the doorposts as a body. And the angel of death passed over. Faith gives us that ability to look past and look to the cross as our salvation. Brothers and sisters, is that where our faith, as we make these decisions throughout our lives, as Moses made these decisions, they all lead to the cross. They lead to deliverance. They lead to freedom from sin. Faith. Faith gives us that. Faith is the ability in the roadmap that gives us and leads us to right decisions. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ. And you might think, well, he never knew even Jesus. Well, this is the Christ, the Messiah. Christ just generally is a general term for Messiah. He esteemed and he valued and he knew that the reproach that he was going to get going from a prince to becoming a pauper, that was more valuable than anything. Because he knew he was in the will of God. He knew he was following God. That God would redeem him and his people from their sins. How awesome is that? That's why we can, in faith, make these decisions. That's why we can face when we get the news that our loved one passed away unexpectedly, that we have a disease we didn't want, that we have a job loss that we have, or a job transfer that we have. That's why when the stock market crashes, and that's why when this world goes and we become pariahs and persecuted by the world, that's why we're not going to throw our arms up and be, what can we do? We have these examples of faith. I know that God will take care of us. And we can boldly approach the throne of grace. And through faith, we can forsake this world, its riches, its sin, and through faith and by faith, we can look to the cross, to the blood, for deliverance and freedom from sin.